live from Earth, it's Space Radio. This is Paul Sutter, and coming up, we're talking about the black holes are swarming, and special guest, Sky. And of course, taking listener questions about all things in the universe, because that's what this show is about. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, so call 888-581-0708 to join the conversation. And in today's Blue Shift, I'm just going to keep talking to Sky. But first, the news. Hello, space fans. Welcome to Space Radio. I'm Paul Sutter, astrophysicist at Ohio State, chief scientist at COSIGN. For the next half hour, your agent of the stars never gets old. We've got an exciting show for you today on Space Radio, where we talk about all things in the universe. If it's above the Earth's atmosphere, it's in this show's universe. This show lives on listener questions. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern here in Studio A of WCBE Radio Columbus. So call 888-581-0708, light it up, get those calls in. We'll have a lovely little chat. You can also follow along in our live streams on YouTube and Twitch. Visit spaceradioshow.com for the links. You can also follow me on social media. My name is at Paul Matt Sutter on all those lovely little channels. Seriously, folks, I've only prepped 10 minutes of show material tops. Get those calls in. Before I start taking calls, though, I wanted to share a very, very special guest today. Joining me today on Space Radio is Sky. Sky is a science communicator on Twitch.tv. She discovered her passion of sharing all the science with others on Twitch while pursuing her degree in computer science. In her off time, Sky enjoys connecting with the world around her as much as possible. A couple of her favorite and non-cliché activities are stargazing and spending time with her pride and joy, her five-year-old girl, aka Mini Sky. Adult Sky, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, I'm definitely going to get into who you are and why you do what you do and why you're on this show and all that. But I tossed a couple news items at you to potentially talk about, and you rejected both of them. And in favor, you said, why don't we talk about this black hole swarm story? And honestly, this is a story that I have completely ignored.
Why?
I honestly don't know. So I want you to educate me. What is a black hole storm? Why is it interesting? And why was it a mistake to ignore it?
Well, because this is something that I've heard, especially people at the Chandra X-ray Observatory talking about for quite some time, a bunch of theories that potentially there could be upwards. I've heard of even exaggerated numbers. They seem to change, but even hundreds of millions of stellar mass black holes.
Now, come on.
Yeah. Just floating around in the Milky Way. And, you know, that always freaks people out. But we've actually confirmed that we've seen a few just within a few light years of the galactic center of the Milky Way. So that was something that came up, and we found these through binary companions. So usually that's how you can see these things, because, you know, black holes are invisible.
Yeah, black on the blackness of space. Hard to see. So it needs to be orbiting something. It needs to be collecting gas. The gas lights up as it's falling in. That's how we spot these things.
Yeah, we get X-rays. We need those.
Lots of, I mean, not like personally, but astronomically.
No. Astronomically, we need to see that wavelength. So seeing that helps us see them. And it looks like we found a few.
A few. Now, we suspect there are at least tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of millions. That's a pretty large gap.
It is.
And it's we've seen like eight.
Yeah. Well, it looks like actually they've heard this, the article that was updated. It looks like they might even have upwards of 14 now.
Whoa, that's twice as many. That's building up.
I know.
Eventually, they'll count up to like 100 million. But you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, and I think 12 of them are going to be those white dwarf binaries. Mm. And then the other two are neutron stars.
Oh, that's cool. So, okay, so that's pretty interesting. What does this tell us about star formation, galaxy formation? What's the long-term outlook here?
Well, what this tells us is that our universe isn't very quiet, or not our universe, but our galaxy is not very quiet. There's a lot of things lurking in the shadows. Also that we need these binary companions. Like, this happens a lot. But again, we have so much distance to look at And so turning it to the galactic core and seeing how things are going there, it's also something I would think would also be a great place for star formation too. But I think overall what this tells us is that there's a lot of stellar mass black holes out there. And that's in and of itself, a lot of people don't think about that. They are usually used to hearing about the supermassive black hole. You know, it's 4.3 million times the mass of our sun. But these ones aren't as big. You know, they're around 5 to 30 times the mass of our sun. But still, this is very, very cool. Obviously, these are large stars that died. And so that tells us about the evolutionary stage of our Milky Way, that stars have been able to form in this region and die and create these things.
Very cool.
High mass stars.
I'm converted. Yeah, high mass stars, big black holes, not super, but lots of, like, we're lousy. We're infested. We should get an exterminator. And I'd love to keep talking about that, but now I want to talk about you.
Okay.
Who the heck are you?
So I'm a science communicator that I graduated computer science.
Congratulations and condolences.
Thank you. And I decided that while I was in computer science, I would try to get on this platform for gaming to relieve my stress from computer science. And then it ended up turning into being like, hey, let's poke at this space simulator. And I started talking about my passion for space. And then other people started to catch on to it. And I would say about, a year and a half in, it was mostly what I was doing for my stream. And I was able to find other people that had similar interests, other people being one of them is Dr. Stefan. He's a physics professor at UNLV. And he saw that this was something that was important. And I really wanted an educational channel on Twitch. And so a group of us got together. We had a panel at TwitchCon last year to promote educational content on a gaming platform. So it's not very norm for them to think like, well, this is a good thing for us. But I think there's enough people out there that, especially with space, space is a great one to get people interested in science. So that's what we started doing, and it's grown. We have a whole thing called Brain Bytes. I've started a team called Brain Bytes and had other people enter in. We have people that code. We have people that talk about the science behind cooking. And we also have Dr. Pamela Gay. She's a part of Brain Bytes. She's also
amazing.
A planetary scientist. Yeah, we know her. So yeah, just kind of growing that more has been my thing for the, I would say about a year now, it's been my focus.
Wow, what a crazy ride. For those, and so I've talked about how this show is on Twitch. For those of the audience who might be ignorant, I'm looking in Greg's direction, but I'm not necessarily talking to Greg. What is Twitch? What is it?
So it is a gaming platform. Amazon recently acquired it in the last couple of years. And it's where people go and they live stream, just like on YouTube, but they live stream video games and playing video games.
So they
perfect
play video
games for science,
right? And then so some people play games and put it online, and other people watch them play games. That's all right. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, people watch other people play all sorts of games, including video games. What made you think it was a good idea to switch from a career in computer science to something like science communication? Did you have some impression it would generate great financial return from that?
Not at all. That is not even present at all. I could not live off of what I make. And even being very frugal, too. But I would say it's more of the reward of having the people be interested right now. That's something that I want to kind of test the waters to see how this goes. It's nice to have a computer science degree to fall back on. But I mean, really, going through computer science and seeing the underrepresentation of just women in science and computer science, mostly, that's something that I became super passionate about it. Because I found that while doing all the homework, you know, I was thinking about, like, so many people probably think they can't do this. And that's a result of maybe bad teachers or, you know, and so I figured that this is my way of kind of giving back. And it came to me to do this. And, you know, it's nice to fall back on other things. But they also opened up a section in, they have these channel sections. And so they call it IRL. And once that opened up, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to make this the educational section for me. Because space is IRL. I don't know if you think.
And that means.
You know, IRL stands for in real life.
Oh, okay. I was going to go somewhere else. Okay. In real life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think space is very in real life.
Oh, for sure. It's right there.
Right. And so, yeah, once they opened that up, I thought, all right, it's fair game, you know, and I do enjoy playing video games, but I'm not great at them. And So I'm really big about my community and then just having people come in and feel comfortable asking questions about science and space. And that's kind of where it's at now.
That's super cool. Just creating communities around a certain topic and creating those educational moments. Honestly, what a really powerful vision. We've got to take a little bit of break here. Remember, you are listening to Space Radio. I've got a very special guest. Sky from Twitch.tv is joining me today. And this show is brought to you by you. Visit patreon.com/PM Sutter to learn how you can keep this show going. We'll see you after the break.
Let's start every weekend together with a newer you. Let's build your brand together week by week, tool by tool on You Inc. with me, Rhea Greif, Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. This week, listen to Monique McChrystal, who jams out on relaxation at a spa co-op and what in the world goat yoga is. Join us, You Inc., Saturday's new must for a new you, presented to you on Central Ohio's NPR station, 90.5 WCBE.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Paul Sutter, and this is Space Radio. I have a very special guest today, Sky. I'm going to go ahead and say it, the preeminent science communicator on Twitch.tv. I'm chatting with her. We're taking questions on the live stream to make this fun, because just talking to one person isn't fun without other people interrupting and interjecting with their own thoughts. So you can call 888-581-0708 to join the conversation or follow on the live streams on YouTube and Twitch. Check out spaceradioshow.com for all the links. Now, Sky, we've been talking about who you are, mm-hmm. why you're doing this, how you're not making really any money from it. You do make a little bit of money from Twitch.
I do.
You're a Twitch partner. What does that mean?
So you can propose to Twitch that your content is worthy enough of having a subscribe button. So people can subscribe to me, and there's different tiers of subscription. But they can subscribe to me just like you would pay for a magazine subscription per month. So it's, you know, $4.99 would be the lowest tier.
Wait. Would that magazine be called Sky Mall?
Yes.
Just and tossing it, would have it out there. Just
all
it out
the interesting
there.
Things that you never thought of. So, yeah. So that's something that Twitch was, you know, the first time I applied for it, they were like, this is great. And but no. And then I thought, okay, well, I don't want to try to do this again. That hurt my ego too much. But then I did decide to do it again and reapplied again for partnership, and I got it the second time around.
Nice, nice. And so it's very cool. You're taking this opportunity where there's this tremendous community. Twitch is like the fourth largest website in the world or something ridiculous like that. Tremendous audience, powerful communication opportunity, and basically, nobody else is doing what you're doing. When you started over a year ago, this is untapped territory. What was it like, especially in the early days? What did you have to do to actually build a science communication audience where people would go on Twitch to specifically to watch you and to learn about space and stuff?
So to build, it was just more being consistent. I do have friends that, you know, are larger streamers that would, they can host over. Like right now I'm hosting you on my channel.
I appreciate that.
So that kind of support helped a lot. And then recently, this was actually something very recent, put on the front page of Twitch, and that generated a lot of views. A lot of new people came in saying, oh my God, I didn't know that space was on Twitch. I can't believe this. And that brought in a lot of people. I think we had at the most our peak viewers were about 16,000 people.
Holy space cadet. Like, that is a large number. That's
during that time, I was doing that.
I remember that was a riot, by the way.
Yeah.
And you've been so gracious. So I come on your stream once a week, every Tuesday.
It's wonderful.
It's a laugh riot. It's a question a second. It's just rapid fire, tons of fun. What is, like, your week like? Like, how often are you on Twitch? What do you do when you're live streaming?
So I'm on Twitch usually about 5 days out of the week, sometimes six, and it can range anywhere between 2 hours to upwards of 8. It's usually about 4. And usually I try to start with, you know, talking about space, going. I have guests like you. Yesterday we had Dr. Emily Levesque on, and she was talking about stellar evolution of high mass stars. So I try to get guests on as much as possible. And then we just kind of have a good time. It's a very casual environment. So it's very different than what I've seen with the YouTube culture. It's much more relaxed. I have a different angle with talking about science, and it's sometimes some people could see it as distasteful, but I'm one that is very much big about appealing to your demographic. The Twitch demographic is, you know, young adults. So there's some, you know, people that might be older, but, you know, it's really trying to get those people that are younger interested and feeling comfortable with asking me questions. And so sometimes I have a beer. Sometimes I have six beers.
Well, all at once?
Often, though. Not often.
Or in a row. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just asking the important questions here. But no, that's cool. You're creating almost, like, I hate to use this term in this context, but a safe space where people who are curious about this topic can come, feel comfortable, engage on a level that they know they understand, you know, presumably sassy. Is like the young adult, you know, that kind of vibe. And then they can access this really cool information in a way that they particularly enjoy, in a way they're obviously not getting from TV, from blogs, from podcasts. Otherwise, they wouldn't come to your channel, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of, it has a side to it that's not great, because, again, I'm sure that people would shy away and say, like, oh, she's way too vulgar, or, you know, things like that. But again, it's really the intention of making that younger demographic feel comfortable. And that's super important to me. So while some people might see it as distasteful, I make a lot of vulgar jokes. But again, it's you've got to do what you've got to do. And it's something I'm comfortable doing. And I laugh, I can have a good time. So it is different, but it's supposed to be.
It's a reflection of your own personality, your own attitude, your own approach to communicating science. Speaking of communicating science, I do have an unplanned question here. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? It's a science question.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the YouTube chat from El Chupa Blah Blah, who asked, what are subgalaxies, or sometimes called dwarf galaxies? Just what are they, and why should we care about dwarf galaxies? Go for it.
Well, these are smaller galaxies. We usually call them also satellite galaxies. We have the Small Magellanic Cloud and the Large Magellanic Cloud. These guys, I guess you could say, hover behind or below or above, whichever direction you want to take, because direction in space is really funny and a lot of people will debate that. But these are smaller galaxies. They don't have as much of a, they don't have supermassive black holes near the size of ours. But as far as their composition and stuff, they still can have these really awesome star-forming regions. They do tend to be weird shape. They're not these disc patterns. So the gases in them are probably, they're pretty, compared to our galaxy, they're going to be more gas poor. But they're important because we can look at objects in them. We have a lot of activity that goes on in them. I believe we've even seen some supernova that happened in one of them. I don't remember which one, but yeah, they're cute. They're cute.
I think supernova 1987A was in the Large Magellanic Cloud, if I remember right. That was the big one where we really got a good picture. We saw neutrinos from it, the whole deal. So there you go. Dwarf galaxies, super important. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. But before we go, it's time for the Blue Shift. I'm Paul Sutter, and you're listening to Space Radio, and this is the Blue Shift, my opportunity to get a little bit closer to you. And I want you to get a little bit closer to Sky. Sky, why don't you share with everyone how people can find you, how people can support you, and what your overall, what's your mission? What's your dream in life?
So you guys can find me on twitch.tv/Skylias, and that's spelled Skylias. You can also find me on Twitter, Skylias Cares. I'm good about tweeting things out. It's important. And let's see, the second question was what again?
The second question was, how can people support you? Like, because I believe, you know, all science communicators need help, because we're not, certainly not getting institutional support from government agencies, from grants. We depend on our audience to keep these things going. You're doing some awesome science communication. How can people keep that science communication going?
They could definitely go there and subscribe. That would be amazing. And they can also just follow and see if they like it and they feel it's worth subscribing to. Again, it's going to be different than the most channels that people participate in.
Variety is the spice of science communication life.
It is. So that would be a way to support me very, very much. That would be it. I don't have a Patreon. That's different. But people can do donations through there as mm-hmm. well. If they don't want to do a subscription, they can. But then they're missing out on all the cool emotes. We have a flat Earth emote.
Nice. Very important. Mm-hmm. And if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get one free subscription. A month,
you
right?
do.
So you can, you, you, do. You don't even have, if you're already on Amazon Prime, you can spend money without actually spending money and support great science communicators. 1 minute left. What's your dream? Like, what is the change you want to see in the world?
I want to see more people. I want to build out Brain Bites. So I want to build out more people that have the same goal to share their knowledge and their enthusiasm for it. And also to collaborate with fine people like yourself. To, you know, not always be on Twitch and just to communicate science on any platform that I can. And that's really ultimately the goal is just to be able to keep doing this. I would love to. So I'm giving it a few more months and seeing how this goes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's it.
Very cool. Before we go, what's your favorite kind of cheese?
Oh,
trick question.
Like a nice Irish cheddar.
Ooh, that sounds lovely. We'll have to share some Irish cheddar someday. Thank you so much, Skye, for coming on the show. Skye, the mildly vulgar Carl Sagan, found on twitch.tv/Skylius. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And unfortunately, this broadcast is almost done. Thank you for joining me on this voyage of space radio. Once again, I'm Paul Sutter, and this show is brought to you by the Ohio State University Department of Astronomy. Learn more at astronomy.osu.edu. This show is also brought to you by you. Visit patreon.com/PM Sutter to learn how you can contribute and enable more awesome guests to come on the show. Thanks to Greg Mobius for producing, Dan Michalka for being awesome, and all the fine crew at WCB Radio for making this show possible. We record every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, so you can call 888-581-0708 to join me on the air. You can also catch the YouTube and Twitch live streams. Go to spaceradioshow.com for the links. And of course, thanks again, Earthlings, for listening. See you next week. And remember, science is for sharing and transmission.